from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
It sounds to me like you think still the most likely outcome is Brandon on the 49ers. Do you believe that?
I think that's still the outcome that the 49ers want. It's up to Brandon Ayuk to decide whether he wants that or not.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Check this out, dog.
Yeah.
You ready for this?
Bring it.
49ers have released their 2024 unofficial preseason depth chart.
Ooh, so exciting. I always love this.
You ready for the big answer?
As released by the PR department.
Correct.
Okay.
Starting at one wide receiver.
Okay.
Number one, Deebo Samuel.
I miss him being number 19.
Yeah, I do too. I do.
19 problems.
Now there's only one problem. I thought it was better for defenses if there's 19 problems.
There's actually two problems. His wide receiver teammate and the big fella. But we'll get into that down the road.
Those are at least two problems.
Yep.
All right. Who do you think has been listed as the starting wide receiver opposite Deebo?
That's a really good question, Mark.
Well, thank you, Roxy. Thank you, Grandy. Thank you to my parents for having me.
Come on.
No, go ahead.
It's just pandering crap.
Who do you think?
Jawan Jennings is
who
I think.
That is incorrect. Would you like to try again in double jeopardy?
Not unless I get a buzzer.
There you go. All right.
What's wrong? Are you going soft back there?
Second guess. Now he's just bored.
Lucas was distracted.
No. Want to guess again?
Sure.
All right.
Brandon Ayuk. Yeah. Look at that. You tried it. Try to get me off the trail.
I mean, I did.
Brandon Ayuk?
Possibly.
Brandon Ayuk.
Okay.
Brandon Ayuk, starting wide receiver, 49ers.
So I'm ecstatic about that.
I like the player.
I like the depth chart. So he sees that, and he gets all teary-eyed, and he calls John Lynch. John, I want to be here. I want to rescind my trade request. I want to be a Niner.
I want to be on your depth chart.
Totally. You had me at depth chart.
No. I don't think it means anything. It doesn't mean anything.
Means they haven't traded him.
Well, it means they haven't traded him. And, think about what the opposite would be. If you did stick another receiver in there, that's going to get it. Ricky Pearsall. I mean, right, it would get everybody going. Plus, it's sort of a little bit of a middle finger to Brandon, as if to say, like, yeah, you're not on the team anymore, which he's in camp. Like, Trent Williams is listed as a did not report.
Okay.
So he's not on the depth chart. Brandon's on the depth chart. He reported to camp. He's there, so you stick him on there. You're our starter.
Guy hasn't even been on the field once other than to bro hug and slap fives.
Well, what else are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Yeah, I guess, but, you know. It's meaningless, as you pointed out at the start of that, but sure. At least symbolically, it means that he's still a 49er.
And he is. And I still think there is a very fair chance he remains one. It's so funny that in 888-957-9570, the big question we've been asking, if you're the Niners brass, what do you do? And you can certainly weigh in on our unofficial likelihood poll, which is, does he play on the fifth-year option? Does he get traded, or does he get extended? And I still think that the most likely thing is that he's got to play this year. He's got to play this year on a fifth-year option, because if the Niners don't decide to trade him, Brandon has absolutely no choice but to get out there and play football and play football hard. That is his only choice to get what he wants. It is a plot thickener that he reportedly turned down $32 million a year to go to the New England Patriots. And I know what a lot of people's first thought is. Well, sure, he doesn't want to go to the Patriots. The Patriots stink, and they have no quarterback. Sure, but there's a hidden something in there. Because Brandon is well aware of the game of chicken that's being played. And if you want to turn that money down, you are risking the 49ers turning around and going, then we're not trading you. Which means you're not hell-bent on leaving.
Yeah, because if you were hell-bent on leaving,
you'd be gone.
You would have left.
You would go for that money. Get that back.
$32 million, yeah.
Four-year extension, $32 million a year. That was reportedly on the table. What is that, $4.28?
Yeah, it's $128.
Damn.
Nah.
Damn.
That's big money. And not all guaranteed, but still the guarantee is usually about 40% of it. So even if he, you know, well, the fully guaranteed at signing is what I always try to dial in on, because, you know, the practical guarantee for Justin Jefferson's 110, but the actual guarantee is 88.7.
Yeah, but
88.7 is in your pocket.
It is, but DJ Moore got something in the 80s too.
DJ Moore got 81 practical, and the actual was 43.6.
Oh, okay. You're talking about practical and actual. Got it.
Well, the practical guarantee, that's the third highest, DJ Moore.
Yeah.
That's the third highest that was doled out this year. Amon-Ra got 77 guaranteed, which is fourth most. 77 out of 120. So that is roughly about 60%. So if he had 32 on the table, 128, and you take 60 million of that guaranteed, that's about 95 million. It's about 90 million guaranteed.
I'm shocked he didn't take it.
Yeah.
I'm shocked he didn't take it.
Well, it tells me
that. It's a hell of a poker move, dude.
Tells me that it's not that he's hell bent on leaving. He might be hell bent on just going to Pittsburgh.
And the 49ers might well be hell bent on no.
Especially if they don't get the right compensation back. And that's really, if you're the Niners, you're obviously what the Patriots were offering, if the reports are to be believed. The Patriots had put a package on the table that the Niners were okay with. All right, we'll do that. We'll trade you Brandon Ayuk for whatever it was. I don't know if we ever saw the details of what they were reportedly offering, if it was a first round pick and something, if it was a player. I don't think I ever saw those details, but it was obviously good enough so that the Niners were at least okaying it, and yet Brandon didn't want to go there and take the $32
million. Well, and what I was saying was, what's funny is it seems like, and it seems like people are trying to squash this a little bit to a degree because it's kind of a semantics thing, but there's this like brewing argument over whether or not Brandon Ayuk has leverage. You know, it's a brewing argument.
Yeah.
Depends on how you look at it, I guess. In a way, Brandon is showing some sort of power. However, I'd argue it's only because the 49ers are opting to give it to him, and they don't have to do that. So, you know, Matty Maiocco tweeted earlier today, there's been a lot of talk about leverage and which side has it during the Brandon Ayuk situation. Fact. Ayuk controls where he goes, if he goes, among teams that work out a deal with the 49ers. He must sign off on a multi-year contract in order to end up with a new team. Totally get what he's saying. But here's the only three words I see in that whole tweet, and they're in parentheses. If he goes. Which to me craters the rest of the tweet. Meaning he has no leverage. Because he doesn't have to send him anywhere.
Exactly. But they seem open to sending him somewhere.
They seem open. I don't know if I buy all that. You know, you and me, we always ask the question, Why is this all out in the public? Why is any of this information out there? Why do we know the team? Why are we now being given the numbers? Why are we being told what the Steelers will return and what they won't return? Why? Someone has to want that out there. And there's a game that's being played with all of that. So does it behoove the Niners for the public to know that Brandon Ayuk turned down $32 million a year with the Patriots? Sure does.
It absolutely does.
That, I mean, I'm sitting right here with my hand raised as the minute you tell me that is the minute Brandon loses me.
For now.
For now? No, like if that's true, this is a disingenuous conversation. If Brandon asked for one thing, the Niners gave it to him and he said no.
It doesn't mean that he loses you, because when he scores two touchdowns in the opener, then we're back.
Well, but that's two different things. Like, if you have a Niner jersey on, I'm rooting for the 49ers.
Yeah.
But, like, has Brandon Ayuk, and again, we've got to let this all play out, because I'm not going to, like, form an opinion about a player based on tweets. But, like, if this plays out in a way where that becomes sort of a provable thing, and it feels damn close. Like, this is high-level reporters who are all saying the same thing, which is the Niners had a trade in place with the Patriots. The number was huge. It was north of 29, maybe reported to be 32, and Brandon didn't want to go. That's all been reported in, like, 25 different places. If that's all true, yeah, I lost some respect for Brandon Ayuk and his agent. Absolutely.
Yeah,
and just, he can score as many touchdowns as he wants. That's not going to change my opinion there.
Sure, and it's ultimately up to the individual to decide how you want to conduct yourself, and your agent is your representative, and he will march to the beat of your drum. And if you want to go out there and force your way to one destination, even though you're not a free agent, and you want to go about doing it in a certain way, well, this is the way to do it, and it might end up costing you a lot of money. It might cost you a chance to go where you ultimately might want to go, and it also might affect the sentiment of public opinion. But if you're dead set on getting to Pittsburgh, then you're going to have to go through some very difficult things publicly and privately to try to make that happen.
I guess, yeah.
I don't know that he is dead set on going to Pittsburgh. I don't know what his motivation is for any of this.
Quote, unquote, hasn't closed the door on Cleveland.
Okay. That's probably a leverage point.
Maybe.
Leverage not for the Niners, but against Pittsburgh. And although
that doesn't really help him.
Well, especially if he already had a reported 32 from New England.
Right. If he's dead set on Pittsburgh, what would aid Brandon is to be like, all other teams are off the table. You must deal with Pittsburgh. And again, you know, you want to start trying to push the 49ers around, then you run the risk that they're going to push back.
And the pushback is, see you on Monday, yeah, and you're playing for 14, yeah, which...
The Jets are here in September, we'll see you.
Exactly. And that's probably, they're probably getting close to that point. If, you know, if Pittsburgh and the Niners can't really agree on trade compensation, then the Niners might just say, hey, you know, we could try another team, but if it's Pittsburgh or bust, then it's a bust.
Okay.
Because, well, we tried, and the deal that we were looking to strike was not satisfactory to us. So even though Pittsburgh wants to pay you whatever, $30 million, 29 and a half per year, whatever that number is, we're not comfortable with what they're offering. That deal's now dead, Brandon. So what do you want to do, kid?
Yeah. Willard and Dibs, 888-957-957. We'll go back to the phones in a sec, but more from Ian Rappaport. And this is something that came out actually right before the show started. And he's clearly been one who's been ringing the bell of, like, yes, he wants to go to Pittsburgh, and one way or another, he's going to end up in Pittsburgh. I'm not so sure. Check out what he has to say here.
It does seem like the eventual outcome, not current outcome, but the eventual outcome is Brandon Ayuk playing for the Pittsburgh Steelers and the 49ers moving on for some draft picks, which is fascinating from the Steelers standpoint. First of all, if this trade does happen, which again, it has literally not happened yet, but if it does, would give them a premium playmaker. Going to cost them some money, but they're paying very, very little for the quarterback position. Whoever starts, so that's something they can withstand. For the 49ers, they would be theoretically moving away from one of their key weapons.
So for me, the interesting thing there is he is saying that the 49ers, if they're sending him to Pittsburgh, they're doing it for draft picks. I think everybody's going to freaking lose their mind if that happens.
Depending on the picks. I mean, if it's a first next year and a second the year after, people are not going to be thrilled.
Nope.
I get it,
The circumstances.
Timing of it.
The season is such a huge deal. And you're getting me picks for future years?
Man, next year, another extra first?
No thanks.
Chance to load up before Brock Purdy makes that big money?
I think they're going to get skewered. Maybe they don't care.
Anyway, and that's the point I was making earlier.
Not necessarily.
I think that they're going to get skewered.
What would they be skewered? Answer me this. And 888-957-9570. Would the Niners get skewered if they just came out publicly and were like, we're not trading him? Next question.
No, because that would mean that he's still a 49er.
Right.
If he gets traded, matter what, they're getting skewered.
Yeah.
But, okay, so they do that. They don't trade him, and Brandon Ayuk is still a 49er, and he continues to hold in and not play, and whatever road he goes down, he doesn't have as productive a year. The offense isn't as good. You don't win as many games. They're going to get skewered for messing this thing up.
Well, I mean, there already is like, and I agree with this, there's already sort of a low buzz criticism just because this is happening. Simply because it's happening in August. And I agree with that. The word I chose to use was miscalculation. Because I can't really... Yes, miscalculation sensation. I can't criticize them sort of for like doing this in this moment if they're assessing that that's absolutely the best thing to do. I can criticize them for being in this moment, though. Like that means that what you thought was going to happen back in April didn't end up happening. So I think that's totally fair. That's totally fair. But based on what the return is, man, I think that that's a really risky play. For me, it's much easier, without knowing the particulars of why they're so mad, but it's much easier right now to just be like, we're not trading him. We're not trading him.
Yeah, they could have taken that tack months ago, and they didn't, and now they are, I won't say that they're trying to trade him, but they're entertaining trade offers for a guy who you need. You probably need him to be a Super Bowl team, in my opinion, pending Ricky Pearsall's myriad injuries and whoever else you have at wide receiver. Feels to me like Brandon Ayuk, he's not make or break for your team to be successful, but if you don't have Ayuk or a competent replacement, I don't think that you're a Super Bowl team.
Okay, but go with me on this one. Niners have been pretty damn amazing at deadline acquisitions, right? McCaffrey, Chase Young, Emmanuel Sanders. Why can't we look at that? Start the year without him, and whether it's Pearsall and Chris Conley or whatever the hell you're doing, and how many games have you played before November 5th? How many games have you played? You
played
all of September, October?
Yep.
Eight or nine games.
I think your bye is right around there.
All right, fine. You're 5-3. You're not great. You're plugging around. Okay, deadline time. Who's available? Go get an amazing receiver.
That is your bye week, actually, so you will have played 8 games.
Okay, you're 5-3, let's say. Something like that. You're not blowing the doors off, but the season is not cratered either. I think they can do that without Ayuk. It's not like they're going to be awful. He's not the only straw that stirs the drink. Most don't think he's a straw at all. So, I don't know. Who's available? Davante Adams? Amari Cooper? I don't know. But they've done that in the past. They did that with Emmanuel Sanders and ended up in the Super Bowl with a supposedly crappy quarterback.
Yeah, they got Emmanuel Sanders for a third and a fourth, October 22nd. So just before the deadline, but it counts. Chase Young, I mean, yeah, he was a guy. He wasn't a huge difference maker, but you made it to the Super Bowl.
The willingness is what I'm talking about more than the execution.
Sure. Yeah, that's fair.
Okay.
And Emmanuel Sanders 2019, and obviously Chase Young last year, and I'm trying to remember when the McCaffrey was.
I feel like it was a little bit earlier than the deadline.
Yeah.
But it was getting there. It was kind of, I don't know, it feels like it was week 7-ish. Remember, he played against the Chiefs, but just a little bit. He showed up like 2 days before the Chiefs game. It was announced on a Thursday night. It was announced during Thursday night football.
Look at you.
Oh, I still remember. I'm
October 20th was the exact date.
There you go. Yeah. So it was a little bit before the deadline. Not quite up against it, but getting there.
Yeah, but I think a lot of these deals, in football, it seems like they don't happen like they do in the NBA, where we're refreshing with 3 minutes to go. It feels like they do happen in the days leading up.
Sure.
I'll count it, though, as a deadline deal.
Rich in Fremont. Hi, Rich. You're on with Willard and Dibs. What's up?
I'm looking at red lights and license plates, gentlemen, trying to get home. But I'm listening to you guys. I tell you something. Y'all know who pays my paycheck.
Yes, we do, Rich. You remind us every time. ACCO Pest Control.
That's right. I do remind you every time because we do a fantastic job. And I'll tell you something else about us. We are diamond certified. Okay? So after you gave me that report about Brandon Ayuk being on the other side of the football field for the preseason game, that sends a message to me, Brandon Ayuk ain't going nowhere. The Niners are not going to trade him, okay? They got him listed there for a reason, because they're gonna do that player option. And you know why they can? Because they're in the best possible position to do so. Why wouldn't they? So Ayuk, only thing he can do is get out there, ball out, and then when the season's over, then you can ask for your contract. Because at that point, you have three times more leverage. Because if you ball out, what do the Niners know? The Niners know, hey, you know what? This is not just an average receiver. Especially if you get to the Super Bowl. Because then you can easily say, you know what? I got you to the Super Bowl. And the Niners are not going to let him leave. They're going to be like, look, you know what? You have a seat like you. Yeah. Sign here. We'll back up the Brinks check and we'll Brinks truck and we'll pay you right now. So that's the reason why I don't think I used to going anywhere. Thanks, fellas.
Rich, thanks. That's what I would do. And if you want, the only way I would entertain Pittsburgh, and again, I don't know why Kyle's so mad or what problems Brandon is causing or if they really feel like this is just not a tenable situation, but if you're going to entertain a trade and Kyle has assessed, no, we need a receiver in return, and Pittsburgh has drawn a hard line of we're only giving you picks, then you respond to Pittsburgh and say, then you better find another team that's going to send us a receiver.
That's what Matt Barrows is saying.
Or else we're done here.
And that's why I asked him about three-team trades in the NFL. Because NBA, it's like almost every trade is multi-team because you got to make the money work. And it's like picks are flying and pick swaps and players and three teams. And
that would mean, in theory, that at least two picks would need to depart Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah, if you
someone else is giving up a receiver, they need to get something. So, like, you know what I mean? Is it the Niners get a future one, and then the other team gets a future three, and they send the receiver to San Francisco? Something like that?
Perhaps. And I was just remembering the Herschel Walker trade, which indeed did include a third team with Darren Nelson refusing to go to Dallas, so then he was sent to San Diego and the Chargers. So, the famous Herschel Walker trade, but... three-team trades, very, very rare.
Very rare.
And I think you would have to have maybe a player go from Pittsburgh to that third team, a player that the Niners probably can't use because when you have a roster like this, there's only a few spots that are even open for a possible starter.
That's true.
Like when Christian McCaffrey comes in at the deadline or right before the deadline, it's like, okay, you can be our running back. You're amazing. So you're going to be everybody's starter. But I don't know if there's a player like that on Pittsburgh that they would want to part with who would come here.
Eli Mitchell might be somebody that the 49ers would be willing to send out.
That's been a name that's been rumored to... I don't know if he's going to fit with Jordan Mason looking great in camp.
And Breida is here, and part of that is because Eli and Christian are both hurt for the moment, but Eli keeps getting hurt, and if he's lowered on the depth chart... he might be someone that you're like, okay, he's expendable, number one, because you drafted another running back, too. I know Garendo is hurt, but you drafted another running back. He might be someone who's expendable, but also has the resume of, like, I can help someone's running back room. So if there's teams that are feeling like they're a little deficient at the running back room, would they swap a receiver for a running back and kind of make it part of a three-team deal? I don't know. I mean, hell.
Trades are hard.
Well, you say three-team deals are rare. Player-for-player deals are rare in the NFL. It's almost always just player-for-pick.
Good call.
But the Niners are like, man, this is a little bit of a different circumstance here. Whatever the norm is in the NFL, you blow it out of here for this. This is not what teams do. You don't trade your good players in August when you're a Super Bowl favorite.
Right.
You just don't.
I mean, the way you just said that is so matter-of-fact and obvious, but against the backdrop of what we've all been talking about, a trade is imminent. There's a structure. There's a framework. There are teams. It feels like a trade is absolutely going to happen, yet I will refer all of us to the statement you made 18 seconds ago, which is, if you're a Super Bowl team, you don't trade your All-Pro in August. And
period.
Like, even if you're, like, Carolina, for example, they had Christian McCaffrey, a Hall of Famer. They traded him at the deadline in October. And I just was looking at an article on the internet from the Charlotte Observer, you know, who won the trade, the McCaffrey trade? And
oh,
I had to laugh out loud.
Oh, like, the Niners got killed in the moment.
Well, they gave up too much draft capital, Mark.
Oh, yeah.
A second, third, fourth, and a fifth.
Niners crushed the trade.
Devoured
Already
them.
Done.
Yes.
Already done.
ESPN put out a graphic, I remember on social media. Yeah. They gave the Niners a C- for the Christian McCaffrey
That's,
trade.
I mean, love the trade. Exposed. I like the picks.
Yeah.
And I have to look and see who Carolina did get a couple of, I think two of the four players that they still have who are actually good players, but none of them are McCaffrey.
No. None of them are McCaffrey. Yeah, look, all I'm doing is I'm keeping in the back of my mind that I don't know what I don't know. So I don't know what's going on behind the scenes that has the 49ers engaging in this. So there's that. But outside of that, I'll stay open for what I don't know. But with what I do know, this is stupid. The whole thing's stupid. I don't know why you would entertain this at all. Do not trade Brandon Ayuk. And tell him, we're not trading you. Back to you.
Yeah. Well,
like, I don't even know. Like, no. The answer's no.
Yeah, and you keep saying that, but it's just not that easy.
It is that easy.
That's enough for me.
First of all, you can look at it one of two ways. Either it is the ultimate hope that Brandon responds to that in the positive way. However, if you want to get nasty, responding in the negative way is only bad for Brandon. Provided that the 49ers are already, it seems, getting themselves ready to play without Brandon.
Well, they've already misjudged his response at every turn. So for them to expect him to respond, you know, if you go to Brandon tomorrow or Friday and say, you know what, we tried, we had a deal with New England, you said no, we tried with Pittsburgh, they didn't offer enough, we're going to have to move on, Brandon. We're going to Tennessee on a flight here in 12 minutes. We're done trying to trade you.
Yes.
Play on the fifth-year option. How is he going to respond?
Either way, I'm
ready.
He's
going to continue to hold in and not practice.
Fine.
And then come week one, I'm ready to practice.
Okie doke.
Here we go.
All right.
And it'll take him 3 or 4 weeks to get up to speed.
Mm-hmm. Deactivation sensation.
Which does you no good as a team.
It does him a lot worse. It also does you no good to trade him for picks that are happening in the future. What's the difference?
The difference is,
that's my
you
whole
at
point.
Least you would have closure and you would get this situation behind you. Because obviously it's a thing. It's obviously bothering somebody.
Again, open mind to what I don't know. But if you're only going to get picks in return, what's the difference between that and having Brandon just pout on the sideline for the season?
There's a big difference.
I don't see a difference.
Well,
your
locker room is going to have a certain stench if you've got a player, you know, a wide receiver in the wide receiver room, and if he's out there sulking and he's TikToking and Instagramming,
that's not a positive. He's not going to do that. He'd be killing his career.
Well, he's already been doing that, and it's not killing his career now.
Oh, it's so would.
And it wouldn't kill his career. What would kill his career is if he sat out the year. That would really affect his year.
I disagree with you. I think if this guy responds to a $14.1 million 50-year option, he responds to that by pouting, not practicing, not playing. There ain't a team in the league that would offer him a contract next year.
Well, he would come in and start playing in week one. He would be practicing.
Fine. Then let's do that. End of problem.
Yeah, but he doesn't want that. He wants to be in Pittsburgh.
Sorry, there's a lot of people who Kyle Juszczyk didn't want a pay cut, but he got one, and he's going to show up and play.
Yeah, he's already showing up.
You making what you want?
Yeah, actually, and I probably shouldn't say this out loud, but Odyssey, you're overpaying me. I mean,
well, I actually
it's an
said
embarrassment
that out loud,
of riches. Yeah, you can't stop.
No, you know what I mean? Like, okay, Brandon, get in line with the like millions and millions of Americans who think that they're worth more. I'm sorry. Like, my answer would be no.
Yeah, I get that.
No. And he would be so powerless when it came to week one. I'm not saying it'd be good for the Niners, but neither's this.
No, that would be bad for the Niners.
And so would trading him.
Well, it depends on what you get back. And if it's only picks coming back, then I think that would be a problem for the Niners.
Agreed.
And that might be the sticking point, because if you're the Niners, you could use a couple of Pittsburgh's really good players, and Pittsburgh probably doesn't want to part with good players they're in a spot with a competitive division, and they feel like they could actually be pretty good because, spoiler alert, they're always pretty good.
They're always pretty good.
Mike Tomlin has never had a losing record.
It's been a while since they've been great, but they're pretty good.
They're always at least pretty good.
It's a great organization.
I mean, last year, 9-8 again?
Yeah, with three bad quarterbacks.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, listen, I get it, but you can feel the public negotiation going on. Again, the multiple reports that come out today that say Pittsburgh will not include a player in the deal. Why do we know that? That's Pittsburgh trying to tell the 49ers, we're not doing it. And the Niners are like, fine, then we're not, then there's no deal. So, that's just the way I would play it. John in Vallejo. Hey, John, thanks for calling Willard and Dibs. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? Hey, this is going to require a three-way trade. The San Francisco 49ers need to ship him on out to Pittsburgh for Pittsburgh first, the second, next year's third or whatever, and then the Niners need to flip that and ship those picks to the Raiders and get Devontae Adams. The Raiders don't need Devontae Adams. He don't want to be there. The Niners need a wide receiver, a proven wide receiver. He got no fall off from Brandon Ayuk. Matter of fact, it's a step up. And what's Adams' contract for the next 2 years? He's under contract for the next year, and it's only 28. So it's about equal or less to what you were going to pay Ayuk anyway.
No, yeah. it would need a restructure. So he's got a number of about 25.3 this year, and then there's a dead cap hit of only $15 million. In other words, there's an out after this upcoming season. So, yes, you could do that, but he actually has not two more non-guaranteed years after this coming year, both of them at $35 million. So, John, your idea is not crazy. It would take a lot of dancing and restructuring, though, with regard to all sides. Devontae, the 49ers, the Raiders, all of that. Although Ryan Williams was at Raiders camp today.
He was. And he is not Devontae Adams' agent.
No, he's not.
And again, it puts you in the same situation of paying two receivers more than $20 million, even if you restructure Devontae Adams.
But for 1 year.
Right. This year and next, Devontae Adams wouldn't want to come here and not, you know, and have no guaranteed money.
Well, he doesn't have guaranteed money now.
Right.
The Raiders can get out after next year, so whoever the acquiring team would be as well.
Right, so you're going to trade Ayuk for 1 year of Devontae Adams?
Maybe.
To me, that doesn't make proper sense.
Well, if you're right now, you've only got 1 year of Brandon Ayuk, and you might not even have that.
Well, you can franchise him, as you've told me time and time again. Yes. You're allowed to. You won't, but you could.
I mean, I don't think anybody wants that to be the outcome of this. Nobody's looking for Brandon Ayuk's career to totally get flushed down the toilet.
Exactly.
That would be awful.
Bad for both sides.
For everybody.
Lucas put the poll on Twitter. Before we go back to the phones, I want to update you on the results. What do you believe is the most likely outcome to the Ayuk situation? 49ers trade, 49ers extend, or nothing? Fifth year option. Right now, the leading vote getter, 49ers trade Ayuk.
Trade,
52%.
For sure. Yeah.
Second is they do nothing, 26%. And then extension, 23%.
The only thing I would say to that is the extension vote is way too high.
Agreed. Agreed.
A quarter of the people think that he's getting extended.
And I think the nothing option is a little bit low.
Probably.
I think it should probably be 50-40-10. Well, 50% trade, because that's kind of where I am.
Yeah,
I think that it's more likely that they trade him than they do nothing.
Yeah, I mean, you might be right. I mean, the poll is happening on Twitter, and on Twitter, you're hearing that he's going to be traded. But that's on Twitter.
Fair.
You know what I mean?
Fair.
I don't know what's happening in the actual offices or on the cell phone of John Lynch.
I have a question.
Sure.
So let's say the Niners just refuse to trade him. We're going into a Super Bowl year. Maybe we make a decision a year from now or 8 months from now. We'll cross that bridge then, but we're going to keep him. It's our best chance to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And the Niners tell Ayuk's camp that. You seriously think he's going to be willing to play on that $14 million fifth-year option as opposed to maybe finally taking down his asking price and then signing an extension, maybe a little bit upset, but still then signs that extension?
It's a very fair question, and I don't know. I don't know what he would do. But that's the corner that if I were the Niners, I'd back him into.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's what and that's why I just keep telling him he's got no leverage at all. Because the Niners, if they want to do that, boom, done.
But they didn't do that, and they haven't done that.
But
so
that doesn't mean he's got leverage.
You can use whatever word you want. He's got them out there doing his bidding.
Listen.
So you can use whatever word you want.
And I can sit here and say they shouldn't be doing it.
Well, they're doing it.
But so they shouldn't. And that,
you can call it leverage or power or juice or chutzpah.
It's nothing.
Whatever he has.
It's a mistake.
He's got them out there doing it.
And it's a mistake,
Dibs. That's your call.
That's my opinion.
The reality is they're out there doing his bidding.
And it's a mistake.
So if that's not leverage, then it's something. Well, whatever it is, he's getting what he wants, shop me.
No.
What if the whole thing is just the Niners calling his bluff?
Exactly.
They know he didn't want to go to New England, and they say, we got a great deal for you, Brandon.
Thank you. Thank you. Again, why do we know these things?
Because the team is leaking it.
Thank you. And why would they be doing that?
Because they want to disrespect Brandon Ayuk without using their own words.
Well,
that's what they're doing. It's passive-aggressive. It's gaslighting is what it is.
They're not trying to disrespect him. They're
gaslighting him.
No, they're trying.
They're letting it be known that, it turns out he doesn't want the money.
They're trying to get what they want, the same way he is.
Right.
Everybody's just trying to get what they want. No one's trying to disrespect each other. Well, they're trying to get what they want.
The way they're going about it by leaking this, it's drawing the reaction of the reaction that you gave during the crossover, which is like, wow, really?
Yes.
I'm out on you, is what you said.
100%.
So that's the team getting the public to turn against Brandon Ayuk.
Let's not act like this was their first move.
No, it's not.
That's what happens when things won't go well.
And he's made about 8 moves already that have been equally passive-aggressive.
Completely. I would not have guilt if I were the 49ers to do that at all, knowing that this guy left exit interviews and immediately started putting poop emojis on IG. So if I'm the boss, I'm like, excuse me? Excuse me? We just flew back from Vegas?
That's 2 days ago.
What? come on. Again, you got to have the stomach for this. If you want to play hard, then let's play hard. I don't get it. I do not get why the Niners
are... You've said that about 94 times today.
Doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. Yet, they're doing what he has kind of asked them to do.
Vince in the city on Willard and Dibs. Hi, Vince. What's cooking?
Hey, what's up, guys? At this point, now that Brandon Ayuk rejected an offer with New England, I feel like the 49ers are pulling a page out of Utah's book, and they're just putting the asking price super high, knowing nobody's really going to want to trade him. Like you've been saying since all of this started a couple of weeks ago, BA's got literally no leverage here. He's on a fifth year. They have a tag that they can put him on next year. And let's say that he does sit out some games. The Niners are going to probably win. I don't remember Brandon Ayuk being out of a game and the Niners losing versus Debo being out of a game and the Niners losing. He's not, I feel like he's more of a complimentary piece than a focal point. I may be wrong. I don't know. I haven't really looked at that.
Well, you don't remember that
because Brandon Ayuk doesn't miss games.
He didn't miss any games. I mean, did he miss one?
I think last year, he missed one game.
Yeah.
And I thought it was the last game of the year, but he actually played in that one briefly. But
he largely, I mean, the last 3 seasons, Vince, he's missed one game. So that's why. But I also hear what you're saying. I do hear what you're saying. The offense cratered when Debo left.
Yes. And you got to also take into consideration now that Trent Williams is on a holdout. If you got to pick between Trent Williams or Brandon Ayuk, knowing that you got to protect your franchise quarterback, I'm picking Trent Williams to get a deal before Brandon Ayuk.
I think
position is way harder to fill than wide receiver, given the roster and the talent on the team.
No question about it, Vince. Thank you. Everybody agrees with that. I just don't know that the two things are linked at all. I really don't think
they
are.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, I don't think it's one is holding out because the other one, and they won't deal with it. Trent is much, much easier to figure out. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Our guest right now is you. More of your phone calls coming up, and we'll play you the very latest from Adam Schefter, who had an interesting thing to say with regard to the 49ers' approach. That is next, Willard and Dibs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a Sackaroonie, baby.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
You know who we haven't heard from yet on this, who said some interesting stuff, is Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman, on the Richard Sherman podcast, while wearing a 49er hat, you know, you want to know someone like he's been... someone who has said good things about that organization. However, he's also a player. He's a player who negotiated his own contract with the 49ers at one point. Interesting voice to weigh in on a situation like this. Take a listen to what he said.
It just doesn't seem like it's going to have that happy ending. It's going to have one of those endings that just leaves a bad taste in everybody's mouth. And it's nobody's fault. Brandon did everything he's supposed to do. He played well. He's a great teammate, great person, great individual, great everything. San Francisco has done right by him, been a good organization, put good teammates around him, kept great structure, not a lot of volatility in terms of the coaching staff or you know, the front office. It's been pretty consistent from both sides. But at the end of the day, we knew this point would come for the San Francisco 49ers. You can't pay everyone.
I mean, I wonder what you think about that, because when situations go bad, I think this country, I think human beings, we do this. Who's to blame?
Pointing fingers,
and,
of course.
And Richard's like, nobody. Well, I don't think it's going to go that way, but that's what he thinks is fair.
Yeah, he said probably won't be a happy ending, which means either the team is going to trade a player they don't want to trade, or a player is going to play on a fifth-year option that he doesn't want to play on. Those seem to be the two most likely outcomes. And what would be great for Brandon and for the 49ers would be if they had an unlimited pot of money and they could give him 4 years and 128 like the Patriots reportedly offered. You just give him $32 million a year. There's no cap. There's no worries. We like you. We're going to pay you. And boy, are we excited to have you back. Well, that's fantasy land, and that's not where this is. And the two sides have not negotiated in 3 months. And I think he's right. It's not going to be a happy ending. And so as far as who do you blame, it doesn't matter ultimately who you blame. The only thing that matters is Brandon Ayuk starting as receiver Monday night in 33 days. And I think they still do the Brandon Ayuk University, Arizona State. They do that whole thing.
On Monday night?
Monday night football. When they... You know, when they come out, when they break the huddle, and here is the 49ers offense.
That'd be incredible if he was like Brandon Ayuk, Pittsburgh Steelers.
Totally. I was thinking the same thing. Brandon Ayuk, fifth year option. You know?
Brandon Ayuk, ticked.
Seriously. University. That's pretty funny.
What was it, Eric Bledsoe, when he was a son? I don't want to be here no more, or whatever it was.
Oh, right.
Brandon Ayuk, get me out of here.
That's right.
Totally.
Brandon Ayuk. Oh, my God. Yeah.
I mean, is he going to be in that opening montage? Let's meet the 49ers starting offense.
I'd still try.
Of course.
Look. I've sort of arrived at a spot where I'm like, you got nothing to lose because you've already lost. You know, the goal in the game was to have an agreement. The goal in the game was to have Brandon Ayuk play football for the 49ers this year. And if you've arrived at a situation where you believe that that's now a lost cause, well, all right, fine, let's play it out. It's like, why is everybody so worried about how Brandon's going to react? Let's find out. Okay, Brandon, we're not going to trade you. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Let's find out what happens.
I think that they probably know what's going to happen.
How could you?
Well, and they've gotten it wrong so far seemingly every time with what they thought Brandon was going to do.
I mean, what's the risk? What's the bad, awful thing that could happen?
He could become a poisonous element in the locker room. He could be a toxic presence. And you mentioned it before, the Draymond Green, Jordan Poole situation. So he punches Jordan, he doesn't get suspended, and that thing hung over the entire season. It cast a pall. Last year, Klay Thompson, 2 years and $48 million. He said no, and he was ticked off all year. He played angry. He was sullen. There was no joy and all the rest of it. That thing hung over the entire season in a way. I don't think that they're going to be a championship team if he's chipper, but certainly you saw things from Steph Curry. You saw frustration and emotions. You saw a season that, for a number of reasons, went sideways as opposed to what it normally does. And at the very least, that situation cast a pall over the year.
No question.
So this could be similar in that same way.
Okay, but let's play all that out. Let's play all that out for those players in terms of how did it work out? You know, and this isn't about where you wanted to be. Like, maybe Klay Thompson is where he wants to be. I'd argue he cost himself a bunch of money, and he did, because he was offered $24 million a year to stay with the Warriors. And instead, now he makes 17. So, all right, maybe you don't care.
More overall money, but your point is well taken.
Okay, $2 million bucks. But yeah, over 3 years. How about Jordan Poole? I mean, you already had your money, but now you play for the Wizards. And I would argue that you led the league in Shaqt and a Fool appearances. So, how you doing?
It's early, but, he's got his ring, and maybe he likes to be away from the scope and, what took place.
Yeah, like, I can never speak to what makes guys happy, But Brandon has never sort of expressed that. Like, he's never expressed, I just want the hell out of here because here is awful. He's never done that. He's not fighting with teammates. He's just a good player who supposedly wants his money, except for then his money showed up and he turned it down. So now,
well, he didn't want that money.
Well, he didn't want, but okay, right.
He didn't want New England's money.
I'm starving. Well, we've got some food. Ooh, that
I'm a vegetarian. That
doesn't look good. What are we doing?
I do think that if he stays and he plays in the fifth year option, which is certainly a possibility, it's more likely than him getting an extension that makes him happy. I think that there's going to be a lot of scrutiny on his body language. What happens when he doesn't get the ball thrown his way?
No doubt.
When he doesn't get targets, when he's subbed out in critical red zone situations, it's going to be a story.
I mean, I guess that's really the only answer to my question that makes any sense, which is that you're sort of, you're assessing that even if you get beat in the deal, at least we're left with kumbaya.
Right.
We're left with peace. We're left with people who are happy. We're left with people who are all pushing in the same direction. Okay, that's fine. But yikes. I mean, taking pennies on the dollar or less assets or all of that, that's a risky game to play.
It is.
Just because you're scared of a guy who, by the way, I'll keep reminding people, if he does what you're suggesting, I'd argue he costs himself a hell of a lot more than he costs the 49ers.
Not if he's out there playing hard and playing football. What I'm describing is you go out there and you lose a game 23-21, and Debo gets 7 targets, Kittle gets 6, McCaffrey gets 6, Juwan Jennings gets 4, and sure, Brandon Ayuk gets 2 targets and a catch. The question, and we know who these questioners are going to ask, Brandon, what'd you think about the ball distribution in that game? Do you feel like you could have made more of an impact if they threw it to you? Brandon, I noticed you're open 5 different times, and Brock's not looking your way. Hey, Brandon, I saw that Shanahan took you out in the red zone in the third quarter. Do you think that's personal?
Okay, but don't you think, I get where you're going, but don't you think even if it's like he plays well, but he's an absolute locker room disaster, don't you think that also kills his value
it
to a degree?
Diminish it.
Like these people talk. GMs talk to each other. Players talk. It's not like teams are going to be like, can't wait to get this guy who cratered the best roster in football simply because they wouldn't give him $28 million a year, only offered him $26. I don't think that's making GMs want to sign him.
It just depends on how it happens. You know, you heard reports about Stephon Diggs, and we saw Antonio Brown, and that's the extreme, extreme side of it.
Yeah.
And then I think about Randy Moss, when he absolutely shut it down in Oakland with the Raiders. He was able to go to New England and, you know, reclaim his career, but it's a different level.
Right, he was already Randy Moss. Like, this is someone who had already been paid, and he's already an all-time great.
And I'm not saying Ayuk's going to crater it, but when asked questions, if he gives answers, yeah, or, you know, I just think that it could be an unwieldy distraction that you don't want to have when you have a locker room that is reportedly awesome.
I get that. No, of course, I get that. Look, you've sort of arrived at a spot where you need to pick your poison now.
Yeah, fair.
I don't, option A is gone.
Which is extension and kumbaya.
Like, yay, Brandon's here. We're playing football. Yay, you know? What are you doing here in a few minutes, Grandy? What's happening?
We're going to hear from Bonte Shasky on the morning show, the morning roast, of course, debating if Brandon Ayuk should be willing to take a pay cut to stay with the 49ers. And then we'll hear all four of you guys on the crossover.
Wait a minute. On the morning show, they were talking about Brandon Ayuk today?
Yeah. Surprising, right?
Did any other name get mentioned on 95.7 The Game? You've reviewed now all 12 hours of content. In fact, 13, right? Let's go all the way back to 5
Spadoni
in the morning.
Spadoni did Spadone? A lot of Lowry marketing,
oh,
I believe.
Did he?
Okay. I had to get Lowry's name in today.
Spadoni probably got into some LeBron at the Olympics.
Yeah, he was probably doing the whole thing about Aiden O'Connell. All right.
Well,
here comes Grandy, everybody. The best of the game. And it's brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. I asked it yesterday. I guess I'll ask it again. You think he's going to be a Niner when we get back here tomorrow?
I do, yeah.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I do, too.
But not for long.
But do you want to do it again tomorrow?
Yes, only if we can talk about Brandon Ayuk again.
Hang on. Let me check with the bosses.
You got
It's been approved.
You got to do the
it's
boss.
It's been approved.
That's for the YouTube audience only. That was a five. It's a damn five. For Lucas for and Brandy. For the rest of it. For Dibs, that was for awesome.
For Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.